Okay, we're continuing in Shmuel Aleph Perek Yud Beis. We just finished Pasuk Yud Ches, where Shmuel called out to the Jewish people, or we finished Yud Zayin Yud Ches, after where Shmuel is in the middle of castigating the Jewish people, and he's saying it is now the harvest time, and the last thing you want is any rain to happen, and I will call out to Hashem that He should make thunder and rain. That way you'll know how bad is it that what you wanted to do by asking for a king, even though a king may be a good thing, but at the wrong time, it's just as bad as rain coming at the wrong time. That was the message he wanted to show them. So in Pasuk Yud Ches, oh, there's still one more thing. So Reb Tzadok, in his commentary, Pri Tzadok, in Parshas Korach, in the eighth Mimer there, he tells us that this Perek in Shmuel Aleph is a Haftorah to one of the Parshas. Which is this Haftorah to? You have to be somebody who stays in for the Haftorah to know this. Right? It is the Haftorah to Parshas Korach. So he wants to know what's the connection between this chapter and that of Parshas Korach. So the first superficial answer is, which you mentioned last week, that just like Shmuel said to everybody, did I steal anything from any of you? Did I even take an ox? Did I take even anything that I'd even be entitled to as a leader? And that's very similar to what Moshe Rabbeinu said to the Jewish people. He said, why are you rebelling against my leadership? I never stole anything from anybody. Same idea. So he says, okay, that's one connection, but he says that's a shaychus klusha. That's a weak connection. But he says, the whole concept over here, this whole section is, it's regarding how Shmuel is being mechadish the melucha for Shaul. He's renewing the kingship for Shaul. Let me just read a few lines inside. He says, Mikom akom, Amar lem Musar. He's giving them Musar. For Amar, he says, Udu'u ra'u. He said, you should know. Ki ra'aschem rava sher sisa b'nei Hashem l'shol l'cha melech. It was a very bad thing you did to ask from Hashem to have a king. And he says, V'chein ikr korach. And that's the main thing with korach. Shenechlak. That why was he arguing with Moshe? Lo rak al kahunas Aaron bovad. He wasn't only arguing on the priesthood of Aaron, which superficially, if you look at the text, that seems to be the only bone of contention, and that's where the whole battle raged around. But he says, Ki'im gam al malchus Moshe. He also is rebelling against the kingship of Moshe. De mikodem hayu hashovtim gam kemelachim. Because just like Shmuel is criticizing the Jews, he's saying, listen, even before there were shoftim, in the times of shoftim, there were also kings. They didn't come with a kingdom, per se, as real kings. I mean, they were leaders, but they weren't kings. And Shmuel helped them with the power of his prayer. And therefore, they went out to battle and they won. So you did have leaders. You just didn't have what we'd call an official kingdom. That's what he said to them. It's the harvest time. I'll call it Hashem. Meaning to say, so what was he trying to show? By him saying, I can pray to Hashem. Because I was waiting to say, I'm going to pray to Hashem to bring the rain. He's saying, you see what I'm able to do with my prayers. And I did it before as well. So what do they effectively have? They have a very religious leader. Why don't you go to Obama and say, we got problems with the economy. He says, I'll pray to Hashem, I'm just going to fix it. You know, there's a Hurricane Katrina coming, it's going to wipe out New Orleans, so I'm going to pray to Hashem, I'm going to fix it. There's no such thing, right? But Shmuel says, look what I can do with my prayers. I'll show you right now, I can destroy you guys with my prayers. And certainly I've helped you guys with my prayers. That was the point he's emphasizing. A religious kingdom. V'chein Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe Rabbeinu was also a leader. What did he do? He took them out of Mitzrayim via Hashem. And he sustained them in the desert for 40 years through the manna and through the well of the water. b'mochamad, but not like a king who goes out to battle with warriors. Rak b'chinas melach b'koach haTorah. He went as the aspect of a king who comes forth with the power of the Torah. And well, how do we know this? Because the Gemara tells us to Rabbanan Ikri Malachim, that the rabbis are called Malachim. And we're not going to go over that again. We already did that. You know, we said the idea of a Melech stands, the letters Melech stands for Mem for Melech, for Moach, Lamed for Lev, and Chav for Kloyos. And we said that the Moach is the brain that's in charge of the thinking, and then the lave is the heart that's in charge of emotion, and kloyus is it cleans the blood, and that means the physical actions that we do. A true king, he makes decisions by what does his mind truly tell him what he should do. That's what he gets emotionally connected to, and then he acts based on his emotional connection to the realities of what his mind is saying. That's melech. And that's and the rabbis, who are steeped in Torah, who allow the Torah knowledge to guide their emotions and actions, that's a melech. So Moshe was a melech in that sense of the term, meaning I lead the people based on what the Torah says we should do. Right? As opposed to the conventional king, who just is the king because might makes right. And if he's strong enough to protect us, then he is the king. Right? What does it take to be the president or prime minister? Can you protect us? Can you keep the economy running? The fact that we're a bunch of menuvolim, the most disgusting, immoral people in the world, has nothing to do with anything. Your job is not to enforce morality. Right? When was the last time you had a presidential or prime ministerial candidate who was running on morality? Right? It has nothing to do with morality. It's just, can you defend our country and give us prosperity? And that's the kind of kingdom that the people wanted here. To which Hashem said, that's not what the Jewish people are all about, and it's certainly not what their king is all about. And that's what Moshe and Shmuel were not about. Moshe was the religious leader through Torah and miracles that Hashem did for him because how steeped he was in the Yiddishkeit. And the same thing for Shmuel. That was the kind of leaders they had. And that's what Shmuel is showing them right now. Saying, look what I can do. Look what you're giving up. V'korach nechlak alzeh. And this is what Korach argued with. U'bachar b'melech kederech kol ha'goyim asher yotz lifnei Muhammad. He chose rather a king like all the other nations who go out before them to battle because he physically is able to do the battle. Right, that's what Korach was against. And that's what the Rav Tzadok says in many other places. And he says, and why is that? Why is it hard for them to accept a religious leader? So Rav Tzadok says, "Hanefesh haYisraelis, the Jewish soul, lo tuchal lispol shum hisnasus, can't tolerate anyone lording over them." The Jewish nature is we don't like to have a boss. That's the way it is. So if you're a military leader and you if you get elected by us, so we're your boss. The king works for us, and we tell him what we need done. We tell him how much luxuries we want. We tell him how much economic wealth we want. We tell him how much prosperity, security we want to have. And therefore, we don't like you. We vote you out, or we rebel, overthrow you, put in another king, cloak and dagger. Right? At the end of the day, the king doesn't. Right? That's what tells her off, talks about, you know, a king, you know, you think guy's got a king here. Every king has to have a protection. Why does he have to have so much protection? Because people want to kill him. Why does everyone want to kill him? Because somebody else wants the power. So as much as you're the king, you're not the king. A real king wouldn't need anybody. Because everybody knows you listen to the king. Right? So that's what they'd rather. They don't want to have somebody who speaks in the name of God and tells you what to do. Because you can't argue on that. Going to argue with what God has to say, so they don't. It's very difficult for Jews to tell. Now that comes from a good place, because you know if the non-Jews would tell us that we have to believe in their religion, we're not going to tolerate that either, and that's what it's supposed to be used for. I mean, there is a certain degree of chutzpah that Jews have, stiff-neckedness. That means we'll go to the gas chambers for our Yiddishkeit. That's a good application of it. But unfortunately, the negative application is we don't want anybody to tell us what to do. Right? And that's a major problem. That's what destroys. That's what destroys countries. That's what destroys communities. Right, and that's you have to understand where the leadership is supposed to come from, where it's not supposed to come from. That's what the Haftorah is all about. So that's what Shmuel is so upset with the Jews, and he's trying to drive home the message. He says, you guys just don't get it. We are not like other countries. We're not like other nations. We're a Torah-run government that is enforced by tzaddikim. That's who the leaders are. So that's what Rav Tzadok has to say over here. Okay, let's now continue. So indeed, this is what happens in Pasuk Yirches. Vayikra Shmuel el Hashem, and Shmuel calls out to Hashem. Vayitan Hashem kolos umotzer bayomahu, and Hashem brought forth thunder and lightning and rain on this day. Vayirach al ha'ma'od, and the people were very much afraid of Hashem as Hashem ve'eshmuel. Because they look, Malbim explains, because they saw exactly how they had sinned, and they understood now clearly that they sinned against Hashem and they rebelled against his prophet. And that's what they were afraid of. And for all they know, he could have wanted to destroy them. Maybe this is the end. Again, like showing, you know, it's like, listen, we'll take care of everything. See, we run the economy. Look, it's our hands that built up this land. And we're going to decide, you know, how wealthy we're going to be. And then obviously, you nuts, I can wipe you out in 1 second. In 1 second, destroy the economy. Somebody, I just, on a rare occasion, I heard on 680, they said that they took an analysis of the year 2010. Or was it the decade? I wasn't listening so well. They said it's the first time that there's been more people in the world killed from natural disasters than from terrorism.
I'm
not exactly clear. Terrorism or wars, doesn't matter. But what's the point? They said like over 250,000 people in
Haiti was most.
I'm saying, but died from natural disasters. So what's the message? How's a Jew supposed to hear that message?
God.
No, it's saying the world is constantly trying to be anti-God. We don't need God in our world. And Hashem says, what are you talking about? I can destroy you like this. Like this. You can't do anything, you know. That's what people don't realize, you know. How many times can Obama bail out cities that get wiped out from natural disasters? How much money does the American government have already? You know, what if he brings such a storm to New York City? You know, with the terrorist city, they only knocked out 2 buildings. And if Hashem, God forbid, would knock out 500 buildings, just one good wind, you know. Well, it's wind resistant. How about a 300-mile-an-hour wind? Right? Hashem couldn't do that like this. Like this in 1 second. Yeah, knock out 7 or 8 major metropolitan cities. That's the end. The country's finished. Goodbye. And then terrorists send a few bombs, and then goodbye. The end of the country. That's how tenuous the existence of the United States is. Hashem said, I'm giving you a little sample. It's a little sample. You worried about terrorists? We're going to protect ourselves against terrorists. We're going to stay the country we're going to be. No terrorists going to get in. Maybe. So Hashem said, I'll make more natural disasters. That's all. How are you going to defend against natural disasters? You can't. And that's what Shmuel was saying. I'm going to bring a national disaster right now. If it would have rained without stop, they would have died. They would have starved to death. They go to the Philistines, and the Ammonites say, oh, can you sell us some bread? Fat chance, right? So that's what the Navi is saying. Don't you realize how foolish what you're asking for? You totally depend on Hashem, and you could see as the leader, I can wipe you out with one prayer to God. You're finished. So they get scared. It's okay. We were wrong. So now, and so that's what they're saying. So vayomru chalam el Shmuel. So now, Pesach Yetes, all the people speak to Shmuel. Hispalo b'adavadecha el Hashem Elokecha v'al namus. Pray to God for your servants, and we shouldn't die. Ki yasafna kocha toseinu ra, because we've added to all our accumulated sins over Jewish history, l'shol lanu melech, to ask you for a king. It's the first time they finally said, we admit that we were wrong. He gave him a whole Musar Shmuz a couple prakim ago when they first asked for it, and he brings him the king. Garnished. even after Shaul wins his battle. But at least now, after they win the battle, at least in a better mood perhaps to hear what's going on over here, then Mamish lets them have it. Till finally he got the desired result. It would be a lot better if they would admit it before he threatened them with annihilation. The thunder and the rain forced them into it. No, first he keeps talking to them. Okay, guys, you get the idea? Maybe you're going to do tshuva? No, I'm not going to do tshuva. Okay, now I got to put the gun to the throat? Now you'll do tshuva? So, fortunately, you know, that kind of tshuva is very short term, unfortunately. Pasuk Chav. Vayomer Shmuel. So Shmuel says to the people, Al tiro. Don't be afraid. Atem asisim eskolorazos. You did all this bad. Al tosur macharei Hashem, but do not turn away from Hashem. Vavatem es Hashem b'chol levavchem, and rather serve Hashem with all your heart. So Malam explains. Means to say, he's saying like this. Very interesting point. He says, if Hashem will get angry at you for no reason, then you should be afraid. What if he changes his attitude to you? In other words, if all of a sudden he punishes you and you ask why, he says, no reason, then you really should be afraid. Because that's taka bad. But the fact of the matter is, but if the reason why Hashem is doing things to you is because it's contingent upon the fact as a reaction to your negative behavior, then what has not changed? Hashem's desire for you has not changed. Right? Because Hashem wants to do good for you. In other words, when your father punishes you for a reason, you should be dancing in the streets. Dancing in the street, because he still cares about you. He loves you the same, and that's why he's punishing you. Because he doesn't want you to turn out to be a rotten stinker. Right? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, Al tiro, don't be afraid, because atem asisim eskora, because you did bad. And that's why he's punishing you. He still loves you. If he's going to do something bad and there's no reason, oh, then it's achenvei. That means he hates you. Right? There's a fine line. You know, that's why kids keep making little kids, when they get punished by parents and they say, you hate me, they're reacting because they understand. One day you were nice to me, today you're bad to me. Must be you don't like me anymore. That's why the parent has to always tell the kid, I'm punishing because you did something wrong, and I don't want you to do it wrong, and I love you, and I don't want you to turn into a terrible person. You have to keep emphasizing. They may not get it initially, but you got to keep saying, why am I punishing you? Why am I disciplining you? Because I love you, because I care about you. It's easier for me to not discipline you. There's a reason why I'm doing that. Right? Then you don't have to worry. But that's what he says. But you have to remember, but don't go away from Hashem. You know, then Hashem will be able to continue to do good things for you. And don't rebel against him and serve him. And the Malbim explains even further. He says, and it's fitting, and it only makes sense you shouldn't turn away from him, and that you should serve Hashem. Because, number one, because of the love that he has for you. And you should serve him because of how great he is and how wonderful he is. And mostly because how much you love him. Anyway, serve Hashem out of love. Because he loves you, you should serve him because he loves you. You should serve him out of love. B'chol levavchem, with all your heart. Meaning to say, without any ulterior motives. Because of reward and punishment. Right? He's saying, don't serve Hashem. Because, you know, it's easier to serve him than it is to worship the idols, because I get what I need anyway from Hashem. That's not why you serve Hashem. Even if you would perceive no benefit from serving Hashem, still you shouldn't turn away from him. That's point number one. And point number two, he says, that, you know what, and it really wouldn't help. Because, you know, this lo sasura, don't turn away from him. It's not just a command, it's a reality. He says there's no way you can turn away from him anyway. Because you never can get a benefit from anything else at the end. That's what's going to say in the next pasuk. He says, chafal v'lo tasura, and don't turn away. Ki acharei ha-tohu asher lo yo'ilu. Because if you go, who are you going after? You're going after tohu. Tohu is nothingness. V'lo yatzilin won't help you. Ki tohem, because they're nothing. In other words, In Pasuk Chaf, he's saying the reason you should serve Hashem is because he loves you, and you should serve him strictly out of love, and not because you're even going to gain anything by serving Hashem. And if you think you're going to gain more by serving the idols, you should know, you can't. You're never going to get ahead by serving the idols either. It's interesting, what word is he emphasizing? The word tohu. So there's, why it's interesting, it's the first time we've ever heard in a long, I don't recall, that, going after idols is called tohu. Going after tohu. We have all kinds of negative names, calling it tohu. We can suggest that maybe it's, the Gemara says that the first 2,000 years of history were 2,000 years of tohu. Why? Because that's when the world was pagan and worshipped idols, and it was not yet linked into the next 2,000 years of Torah. So he says, like, you wanting a king the way the non-Jews, it means you want to go back to the world of tohu. You want to go back in time. You want to be backwards. To follow tohu. Tohu literally means what? Emptiness. Tohu is emptiness. And that's what idol worship is. It's total emptiness. If you want to play it a little deeper, based on what we've been learning on Shabbos morning, for those few who come out Shabbos morning to hear that, remember we said that all the evil things that are in this world, it comes from, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, it comes from the world of tohu. Recall, the world of tohu is the highest world that has the highest power, but unfortunately it gets broken into the most negative aspects, and that seems to have a lot of power. And you have to overcome that and rechannel that into good. But anyway, we'll just, for those who aren't aware of the Balak Tanya's speech on that, we're going to just go ahead. But that's what he's basically saying over here. So now, okay, Chav Beis. Here's a very famous concept. So now, why should you do all this? And what assurance do you have based on all this? He says in Chav Beis, Ki lo yitosh Hashem esamo. Because Hashem will never let go of His people. He'll never abandon His people. Why? Bavur Shmo HaGadol. Because of His great name. Ki ho'il Hashem lasos eschem lo la'am. Because Hashem wants to make you to Him for His people. So the Malbim explains. He says this isn't going on the last two psukim. It's not going on the psukim of, don't be afraid. But ki lo yitosh means, if you serve Hashem, you have nothing to be afraid that He's going to change His mind to you. So if you listen to Hashem, you never have to worry. Sometimes you can say, hey, what's going to be if one day, you get married to somebody, say, oh, everything's great. But what if one day my spouse, turns on me? Or you have friendships. Sometimes people, unfortunately, get jaded by relationships. They help people, they do this to people, and people drop them like a fly at the first opportunity. People are not really friends for the right reasons. They're using you, right? They can have friendships, they can have marriages, all kinds of relationships, and people can get jaded from it. They're afraid to get involved in relationships with people, because when are they gonna turn on me? It's only a question of when. When's the opportunity? When's a prettier face than me comes along, they'll dump you like anything. It's the same thing with shuls, things like that. They're there for their convenience. As soon as they find a prettier face, they go somewhere else. If they find a place that's 6 inches closer to walk on a winter night, they'll go there. If the davening is 3 minutes more convenient, and people, so it's very hard to have relationships with people that way. So they figure the same way with Hashem. Well, it's Hashem, we're going to be with Hashem. Eh, He'll turn on us. He'll go to the Amalekis one day. He'll go to the others. So he's saying no. So Hashem will never turn on us. Why? Mipnei Shmo Gadol. Because His greatness is known through you. Okay, so he's saying, Shenoda l'mizkav al yetchem. He is elevated through us. Because when we do the will of Hashem, He is made greater. How is Hashem sanctified in this world? Just by causing natural disasters and killing people. When He has people get up and daven and praise Hashem and thank Hashem, you are His people, right? That's what He said. That's what He's saying. Bavur Shemo HaGadol, because of His great name. And more than that. And if He would destroy us, then Hashem, the nations would say, you see, Hashem isn't so powerful. That was the Moshe's main argument, not to destroy the Jews after the many sins they did in the desert. What are the non-Jews going to say? That He couldn't take care of us. And more than that, but Ho'il Hashem, that Hashem wants you people, to make you into a people, So his will never gets changed. So you got him for his name. It's a chil Hashem if he would ever destroy you. And B, it's because he wants us. And Hashem's wanting never changes. So we're going to talk about in great detail in the Parsha class this morning, 9:15, this whole idea over here. That Hashem's will never changes. You know, it's not like a marriage. One day I fall in love, one day I fall out of love. I change. What happened? I just changed. You know, when we were younger, it was nice. But now, you know, I'm older and I'm more on my feet and I can take care of myself and I think I can do better. So goodbye. So it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. Hashem's never going to leave us. Because Hashem wants us for a people. So how's it ever going? Hey, yeah, he'll punish you. For sure he'll punish you. Because he wants to maintain that. That's what we don't understand. So there's a medrash in Rus that seems to bring a contradiction. It says, one pasuk says, it says in Tehillim, this pasuk quoted, Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo, Hashem won't abandon his people, bavur shma gadol, because of his name. But it says in Tehillim, and this is the one, you may recall, there was a Jewish song in the 60s, Ki lo yitosh Hashem es amo, v'nachal aso lo yazov. Hashem will not abandon his people, v'nachal aso, and his inheritance he will not leave. So what is it? Is it because of his name or is it because of his people? The pasuk we did seems to be because of his name, because of his great name. But David HaMelech is saying because of the Jewish people. So Rav Shimon Gamliel gives two answers. He says, "Pa'amim she'osa bavur amo v'nachal aso." Sometimes he does it for his people and his inheritance, meaning for us, the Jews. Sometimes he does it for himself. In other words, he's saying like this. There could come a time, now really the Jews really should be concerned about this because we sin an awful lot. Now, only because, you know, can imagine a marriage where a spouse keeps, unfaithful in the marriage. How long will a spouse tolerate someone? One time, two times. I mean, how many times? Right? How many times would you intolerate an unfaithful spouse? Right? Jews did how many times? Right? There's a good havamina, a good feeling to say, you know, eventually God's going to get fed up with us. We're unfaithful, you know, in this country and in this country and in this country and in this country and this and that, all these things. Just to say for Shoftim alone, how many times were they unfaithful? So, you know, don't you begin to feel, now, interesting psychology here. You have to understand, why would Hashem have to say he's not going to abandon us unless we feel he is going to abandon us? Now, why would we feel that he would abandon us? Because of all the miracles he does for us? Like, figuring like this, eventually, if I was God, here's the problem. A problem with our understanding of God, the biggest problem is we always think God would act the way we would act. Because, of course, we all create God in our image. Right? After a while, I'd say, God, if I was God, I would get rid of us. If I had a spouse who's unfaithful to me, you know, 10 times during a certain epoch of history, I would say, get out of here. I gave you enough chances. And that's how the Christians have interpreted the Torah. Exactly that way. Right? This pasuk is mamish a proof against Christianity. Hashem says, I will never leave you. Isn't that clear? I will never leave you? In spite of the fact how bad you are? Because you're bad, I will. And that's why I punish you. But that's not why I've abandoned you. I will never abandon you. So the Jews are saying, but realize, so what do? Instead of saying, okay, I'm bad, and I should be better, you say, I'm bad, and he's probably going to dump me one day, so since he's going to dump me one day, I might as well be worse and dump him. It's interesting how the unfaithful spouse is the one who will blame the faithful one for how the marriage is going down the tube. It's a great defense mechanism, because it makes them walk away squeaky clean. I've done so many bad things, and eventually you're going to dump. Who wouldn't dump such a terrible person? So since you are going to dump me, then why should I be the one getting stuck dumped? Let me move on. To which Hashem is saying, no, are you crazy? Hashem's never going to leave you. So he's never going to leave you. So let's try to understand how this relationship is going to work. Who is going to be the one who's going to destroy the relationship? It ain't ever going to be God. If the relationship is destroyed, it's only because of you. But now there seems to be two reasons why he won't abandon it. One time it says because of us, and one time because of him. So he's saying, why is this? So now we get the two answers. Right? So either he's not going to, there's going to be periods of history where he won't abandon us because of him, and the periods of history where he won't abandon us because of us. So Amarav A.E.V., he says, Kishishol Zakoyim, when the Jews are doing what they're supposed to do, and they're behaving, and now the mighty Philistines are going to come, and there's no reason why we've been a good people. So then, Bavur HaMonachasot, then Hashem won't abandon us because of us. Since we're so good, he won't abandon us. There are times where, you know, we're doing good things and the enemy is threatening. So then you're not going to worry at all, because Hashem's not going to abandon you because of your merits. But sometimes, when the Jews are not meritorious, then why will God save us? But for Shema Gadol, because of his great name. Because of him. Because if he lets us get destroyed, then it's a chil Hashem for himself. And because of the overwhelming love he has for us. In other words, sometimes he won't abandon us because we deserve to not be abandoned. Sometimes we don't deserve it. But he just doesn't want to let us go. Yeah?
So, in other words, he reassures us that he won't leave us. And so we can't leave him.
With the excuse
that he's leaving.
He's eventually going to leave us.
So he kind of locks us into, or at least takes away.
Well, no, if you leave, you should clearly know that it is your fault.
Right.
But more than that, since I'm never going to leave you, you know, I'm going to punish you till you'll come back. We are inseparable. It's not like you say we're getting divorced and goodbye. Hashem says it's not going to happen. Many Jews have tried this. Many forms of Judaism, a false Judaism, have tried this. And Hashem said it'll never be. That's what Malam said earlier. It can't be. You can't leave Hashem. You're stuck. And it is for your good. Because at the end of the time, every time you go to the rest of the world, they're not nice to us. They aren't. It's just a matter of time. That's one answer. The Rabbanan say, here's an interesting one, Be'eretz Yisrael, Bishvil Amo V'Nachlaso. When they're living in Eretz Yisrael, why will he save us? Because we're his people. B'chutz L'aretz, but when we're outside of Eretz Yisrael, Hashem won't abandon us, B'avur Shmo Gadol, because of his great name, and he brings a pasuk to support this. So we have to understand what does that mean. First understanding was easier. Second was a little more challenging. So the Musar Nevi'im helps us out over here. He says like this. Now hear the whole thing. He says, when the Jewish people are living there at Yisrael, it goes hand in hand with the first pshat. He says, we have great merits because we're living in Eretz Yisrael. So it's kind of describing what is the merit. First pshat said, when we're meritorious, he does it for us. So the second one is being more definitive. He's saying, what's the merit that we live in Eretz Yisrael? Why is it a merit to live in Eretz Yisrael? Because you're living in a land where every second Hashem's looking at you. That's a big schutz. If you live in Canada, he doesn't look at you so much. You're not scrutinized so much. You have a little bit of slack. In Eretz Yisrael, he looks every little thing you do. He does a wham. You do something good. It's like you're under great scrutiny. Not everybody wants that. And if you want that, that's a merit. That's a big merit. And therefore, he won't leave you because of your merits when you're in Eretz Yisrael. But if you live in Chutz La'aretz, well, then you don't got a lot of merits, so you're maintained because of God's great name. So it's just a deeper explanation, more specific to the first intervention. However, there's a big question on this. What's the big question? Well, what pasuk did Shmuel use here? What pasuk did Shmuel use over here? Because of his great name, but they're in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a major problem. So therefore, he says, because of this, if you look, this is we're quoting the Medrash Rabbah in Rus. If you look in the Medrash, in the Yalkut Shimoni, it's a different Medrash, he reverses it. He says that when they are out of Eretz Yisrael, he does it because they're his people. And in Eretz Yisrael, he does it for his great name. He reverses it. But now we have to explain what's the reason now. Why in Eretz Yisrael, it's because of Hashem's great name. And why is it when it's in Chutz La'aretz, he does it because of the people? He says the Tam is, Ephshalom, Debizman, Yisrael, Choytim, Kishem, Shurim, Begolos. When a Jew sins and he's in Golos, Hashem cannot punish us with the strict letter of justice. Because it's room to say, because we sinned because we're just totally Tiruf Hadas. We're just not settled in our minds. We're just totally confused. When you sin in Canada, it's because you're so confused. You don't know what to do. You're surrounded by goyim. They have a whole lifestyle, and it looks so real. It looks so correct. And all you want to do is take care of your family. But they say the only way you can make a parnasa, man, you got to put in 60-hour weeks and this and that, or else you're going to die. And you believe them, and they have advertising that convinces you about all these things, and how you know if you believe in Christmas, you'll be happy. Everywhere you go, it's Christmas, Christmas, Christmas. Right? So, you know, you got to go against that. So it's terfadas. You know, you don't have presence of mind. So whenever we sit in Golas, Hashem has to give us a break. Therefore, even though we do a lot of averes, everything Hashem should wipe us out in Canada right here and now. He has mercy on us, you know, because of us. Because of us, you know, we have a merit that we're still hanging on, and it's hard, and it's, we deserve it because Hashem really put us in this situation. It's a hard one. Avo bizman shem shur malad masam bo nir nir tshisrael uvachol zeh heima misnagin kolo shol kishar, and we don't behave in Eretz Yisrael. What kind of business is this? You have your own land, you have your own country. If you just, Hashem is going to make blessings come easily. And it was much easier when it started. Let's go to the starting point. When did the troubles happen in Eretz Yisrael? Not initially. They come to build the land, the new country in the 1940s. The desert blooms. Hashem says, I love you. You're in my land. I'm going to give you everything. There's no teruf hadas. Right? And then you're sinning, so what's your excuse? You're not in Canada. There's not laws that say that you have to see the Christmas trees. You know, it's your own land, it's your soul, do what you want. The Jews deserve to get punished. When you do an aver in Yisrael, you really deserve to get punishment, and you don't deserve any mercy. So why does Hashem say, I'm still not going to leave you? He has mercy on them only for one reason, because of his great name. So even though Jews may not deserve it, so, you know, that pasuk really, you know, applies in many ways, in certain ways, to what's going on there. It's just wrong. You have a government the government, not the Jews, the government is very wicked. Goes against Torah. That government wants to have what Shmuel Hanavi said you shouldn't have. You shouldn't have that kind of government. Right? That's what the Israeli secular government wanted. Be a nation like all other nations. Have a democracy like other democracies. Everything. Corruption like every other country has corruption. Everything exactly the same. All the immorality like every other country has immorality. Like we'll be like everybody else. Can you imagine if Shmuel and Avi would be walking down the streets of Tel Aviv today? What would be going on? And what kind of storms we'd have? Right? So that's why Hashem, you know, keeps zapping us. Why does he keep zapping us? Not because he's given up on us, because he loves us too much. As I've said many times, the only reason they have all the terrorism going on, it's the only thing that's keeping the Jews from intermarrying in Eretz Yisrael. Because if Rabin had his way, we'd be all intermarried with the Arabs. That's what he said. If they would get to know us, they would get to love us. And then we will intermarry and be one happy family in the Middle East. That was his plan. Now, he doesn't have any Torah, so for a guy without Torah, that's not a bad idea. And I believe he genuinely wanted to help the Jewish people. No question in my mind. In his mind, that is totally devoid of any Torah, that's what a secular mind would think. The problem is, God says this doesn't work. Right? And that's why the nicer he was to the Arabs, the nicer he was to the Arabs, the crueler the Arabs were in return. And more than that, the rest of the world doesn't acknowledge the fault of the Arabs. So what's Hashem saying? You want terrorism to stop? Very simple. If you have a government that says, Hashem, we believe in you. Every store is closing down on Shabbos. Every place is going to serve kosher. You know, and you watch mysteriously. It will stop. When's that going to happen? It's going to happen when Mashiach takes over. That's what's going to happen. But Hashem will never give up on us. So that's a very comforting thought over there. Right, so Hashem will never give up, and then we'll see next week how Shmuel says, and I'm never going to give up on you either. So we should be encouraged by all this, that no matter how much we suffer, remember, as the Malbim said, if he's punishing you for a reason, you should be dancing in the street, because he hasn't given up on you. So when you look what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, Kilo Yitosh Amo, why? Why? Because of his great name. Not because we deserve it, because of his great name. And if he's punishing us, there's a reason. As long as there's a reason, we're very fortunate. Now, if we're smart, we'd behave. And then he could just reward us and not have to punish us. We shall be zocher, the day will come where Hashem will give us all these blessings that we should have. Okay.
There is a problem about logic.
Which is?
A lot of the people who